Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God.
Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you today to be able to come together, study your word, sing these songs unto you. God, please be with us as we have our lesson today. Be with Brother Ernie as he presents the lesson that we're able to take from this, apply it to our lives, and become better Christians. And then we help the church grow by reaching others that are lost. God, we thank you for our many blessings in this lifetime, and please forgive us of our sins. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Maybe seated. Today's scripture reading comes from 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. And in the Pew Bible, that is page 1718, 1718. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not, God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son.
Thanks, Tyler. Please turn to 324, 324, Shelter in the Time of Storm. After this song, Ernie will bring the lesson.
The Lord's our rock, in him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever, he'll be tied, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. A shade by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm. No fears alarm, no foes affright, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary
time of storm. The raging storms may round us seek a shelter in the time of storm. We'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, rock divine, oh, refuge dear, a shelter in the time of storm. Be thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm.
Well, good morning, church. Nice to see everybody out this morning. It is a beautiful day we have to enjoy. Unfortunately for you all, you have to listen to me for a few minutes. And I will try to make it a few minutes. Maybe an hour or 10. That's just a few minutes sometime. Tyler read for us. And I appreciate Tyler doing that. He's a good young man. Appreciate Tyler greatly. Making God a liar. I think that'd be a hard job to do, but, you know, some people do try to do that. Is it possible to make God a liar? No, it's impossible to do that. That's beyond human boundaries, and God is unable to tell a lie, so it is impossible for God to tell a lie. And we learn that from Hebrews 6:18. I have quite a few scriptures here, and I'm going to try to go through some of them if I don't mess them up too bad. And by two imputable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong coalition who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. God is not going to lie to us. He cannot lie. And we have His word, unfailable. Tom's lesson last week, the last couple weeks, and Jim's the week before. The workbooks we have, and like I say, this came from last week's workbook. 1,000 years before Christ was crucified on the cross, in Psalms 22:17-19, told us that the soldiers would cast lots for Christ's clothing or his garments. And it went, Matthew and John both told us that 1,000 years later. And we have those testimonies in the Bible, true to the word. Pardon me. Sorry. Get Dad's frog in his throat again. There are three records in heaven, three who bear witness. And I'll read that. That comes from 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. They do not they jive, they are in harmony with one another, and they do not contradict one another in any way, shape, or form. God's record is true, and that's one of those things that we can guarantee, absolutely guarantee. Whatever God tells us, it's there, it doesn't change, it's steadfast, it's immovable. And it's one of the most secure things that we have to take hold of and to have secure in our lives. Everything that we buy today, Jimmy here a while back said they had to buy a new refrigerator and a hot water tank and all this. Used to be those lasted for, a whole bunch of years. Well, now it's there, you can get 5-10 years out and you're pushing it. The Bible has been true from Genesis to Revelation. It's every word is true. Nothing's going to change. God has not changed his mind on anything. It's all written there for us to read and understand. In 2 Timothy 3:16, we have this in Timothy. We'll go to that and I'll read it. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. This is anything we have to worry about. The word's going to tell us what we do, how we need to behave ourselves, how we need to present ourselves to God, how God wants us to act and be as human beings, how we should react to God, how we need to react to one another. I have said before, most everything we need to know, we learn in kindergarten. Play nicely with others and be kind to one another. That's just basically what we always need to do. We need to search the scriptures to make sure that we are approved of God, that we are doing what God wants us to do, the way he wants us to do. We need to please God, not ourselves, not anyone else. We need to please God first. We do that, we will be pleasing ourselves, we'll be pleasing others, because we'll be a decent human being. Out there, I know, I'm sure everyone has run across those human beings that I'm not quite sure if they were human, but they're supposed to be. And in today's society, things have changed a little bit. AI, I'm sorry, but that just I've had to put up a few times here on the phone recently, and I know Jimmy's had a lot of fun with it. AI is not as smart as it's supposed to be. And I will say this, I'm going to pick on one of our ladies here in the audience. She gave me some water the other day, and it was smart water. And I tell you what, I am a lot smarter since I drank that. Huh, Leif? we need to be smarter. We really do need to be smarter sometimes. Smarter with God's word. Because it's our guide. It's what we need to live by. We make God a liar when we belittle his word, call it a dead letter, it's obsolete. It doesn't apply to us today. That's old style thinking. No, everything in the Bible is there. The principle from Genesis to Revelation to us today, it applies to us. The basic concepts, you know, there used to be the dragnet. This, I'm really aging myself here, but you know, dragnet. At the end of the names and faces have been changed, but the facts are true. Well, yeah, that's basically it. It is true, but it's a good thing some of the names have been changed. But like I say, the Bible, the basic principles will never change. They won't waver. They're rock solid for us. Some of us, we prefer the commandments that men make. Well, maybe they might be a little easier on us. Maybe it's something we would rather hear than what the Bible has to say to us. And that's not what we're supposed to do here. We need to have what the Bible wants from us. In Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. God knows when this is going to pass away. He knows when this world is going to no longer be. But His Word will still be there. It will always be there. In James chapter 1, verse 21. Therefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. We need to be worried about what our soul is going, where it's going, what that home is going to be for our soul. We need that. That's heaven needs to be our goal. We need that so desperately in our lives. In Psalms 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Bible is going to give us the way we need, the direction we need, where we need to go, how we need to get there. Man manufactures his own witness of salvation. Men claim I have this feeling, and this is what's going, we need to do, what we need to follow. I've seen a light. Well, the only light is right here in the book that God gave us. Larry always called the book. And I always like that. I sometimes refer to the Bible as basic instructions before leaving earth. And everything we need to do or know before we leave this earth is right here. And we need to worry about that sometimes. What do we need to do in our lives and that we're in tune with what God wants us to do? I'm sorry, but I'm looking at two different sets of my outline here, and I'm getting it mixed up, and I'm sorry for that, but that's crazy Ernie, so just please, I'll try to get this on course a little bit smoother. In 1 John 5, 9 through 11. And if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. God wants us to follow his Son, to know what Jesus has told us to do, how we need to live our lives, how we should live our day-to-day lives, and just like I say, how we need to follow God. In James 1, verse 25, whosoever looketh unto the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. If we do what God wants us to do, we will be blessed. And that blessing will be a home in heaven someday, which should be each and every one of us's goal to get to heaven. In John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickened the flesh, profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And that was Jesus talking to us in John 6, verse 63. We need to follow after Christ and what he says and what he wants for us. God wants the very best for us. He always has and always will. No man can come to God but by Jesus. There's no other way for us to please God, to ever see God in his glorious heaven, unless we have to go through Jesus. We have to do what Jesus has told us to do. Cornelius, he was a prince of moral, but he was lost. Cornelius, he gave alms. He helped the Jewish people, but he knew he was not in a saved relationship with God. He called Peter to come to him. Let me back up. I'm going to have to paraphrase this because I didn't want to read the whole chapter to you. Cornelius, in a vision, seen, was told that he needed to call for Peter. Peter was in a trance or in a spirit, and he saw a great sheet come down with all types of meats and animals to eat, and they were not clean for the Jewish people to eat, but God said nothing is common. And the men came to Peter's door and they requested for Peter, and he went to Cornelius and he told Cornelius what he had to do to be saved. One of the first Gentile conversions in the Bible. Cornelius was lost, but he he was able to, and that's all found in Acts chapter 10, 1 through 48. I say that was more than reading than you needed to hear me stand up here and try to read. We must be a new creature. We must be willing to change our lives, and then that's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We must put off that old sinful man. We need to become new creatures. Sin-free creatures. Able to pray to God and ask forgiveness. God says, all have sinned. That's in Romans 3:23. We have all sinned. We all still sin. We fall short of the glory of God. But we have Jesus and that avenue to pray to and to be forgiven of our sins after we have fallen into sin after we've been baptized, and we always have that avenue to ask for forgiveness. The claim for salvation without baptism, that don't work. In Mark 16, 15 and 16, and he said unto them, go ye unto all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Also in Acts 2:38, Peter, speaking the first gospel sermon. Now I wish Peter was preaching this one, because it'd be a lot better than what you're getting today. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as far as the Lord our God shall call. And with many words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this outward generation. And when they that gladly received his word were baptized, and that same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the gospel's doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. We know that baptism is how we are saved. There's no other way. We can't touch the TV, send your money off to the radio station, or whatever. That doesn't save you. God's word and the action of the baptism. You repent of your sins. Give up all those sins. Change your life. Become a new creature. This morning, if anyone has any need, I would ask and beg of you to come forward while Tom leads us in song.
Have thy own way, Lord, have thy own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thy own way, Lord, have thy own way. Search me and try me. Master today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humble I bow. Have thy own way, Lord, have thy own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy Spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me.
Please be seated. I want to thank Ern for bringing forth the lesson this morning. Now, if you will, turn to 740 as we partake the communion every Lord's Day. We'll sing this song. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. He paid that debt at Calvary. He cleansed my soul and set me free. I'm glad that Jesus did all my sins erase. I now can sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. One day he's coming back for me to live with him eternally. Won't it be glory to see him on that day? I then will sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay.
Does everyone have their
Jesus paid a debt that I know I couldn't pay. I wouldn't want to pay it because the death even he suffered was a terrible death. But he loved us and he did it for us. He paid that debt without remorse, without any second thought. Because he wanted to do the will of his Father. And that is what we need to remember. We need to refer around this table to remember Christ's death, the price he paid for us, the love he had for us, and the love that we should have for him. And we do this weekly, so that is always fresh in our minds and our hearts. And we do it on the first day of the week. So we'll have that hopefully in our mind and in our hearts till next week, and we'll do it again because we need to remember. I don't know about you all, but my memory is not as good as it used to be. So that's one reason we need to do it weekly, so we don't forget. Let us give thanks for the bread that. Dear Lord, we humbly come before you. We thank you for this opportunity to come together on the first day of the week. to remember what your Son did for us, his great love for us, and all that he did. Dear Lord, bless this bread that represents his body that was given on the cross. Dear Lord, please forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In like manner, he bled for each and every one of us upon that cross. Fruit of the vine represents his blood. Let us give thanks for that. Dear Lord, we thank you for your Son. We ask you to bless us. Fruit of the vine represents his precious blood that was shed for us. Help us keep this deep in our hearts. Help us always to remember your Son and the love he had for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Also upon the first day of the week, one of the other acts of worship is we're to give back as God has prospered us. He has blessed us so richly in so many ways. Let us give thanks. Dear Lord God Almighty, you are so great. We thank you for your Son that you gave to us so freely, and he came and suffered for us so freely. You have blessed us from day to day, all the wonderful blessings of life. Give us a cheerful heart now as we give back the portion that you have given us. We thank you again for your Son. And please forgive us of our shortcomings. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Whoever, Jim has announced.
Church, it's good to see you, and good to see your faces. I might say something. This would be a time I think I could do that to help you out. Every place I went, I was in the emergency room, I was in urgent care, I went to my primary doctor, and all of them are saying they're seeing a lot more cases of Lyme disease. So I thought I would go ahead this morning and tell you this. I've done this in the past, but I neglected to do it. This time I got a tick bite. It does help the doctors if you get it infected. Most of the time you won't get infected, but if you get a hold of one of the ticks that has Lyme disease, write down the date and also put the tick, if you can, in a plastic Ziploc bag. Put a little alcohol on it and put it in there. That kills the tick and also kind of preserves it, because if your wound where it bites you, usually that just goes away, you can't even tell where it is, but if you happen to have Lyme disease, it starts with a bullseye, is one thing. This time it wasn't a bullseye, it was just swelling and the red started spreading down my arm. So if that happens, then you need to get to a doctor, emergency room, as quick as you can. The quicker they get the medicine in you, the better it is. That's where I have my problem with the inflammatory bowel disease. I had trouble with the antibiotic, and I took three different, I was telling Tyler this, I took three different antibiotics trying to get one that didn't make me sick and flare up the bowel disease. And I won't know for a while whether this is going to. I'm almost through it, two more pills. So I did want to tell you that. best if you get bit where it's attached, take that off as soon as you can, put it in a plastic bag, seal it up, make sure you know the date. That helps the doctor out. So I did want to say that. And there'll be more of it. I think any place you see a deer, there can be a deer tick. So Ernie's telling me about seeing one right in the middle of town going down the street. So there's deer every place. So you're going to have that. I want to thank Ernie this morning for the efforts he put into today's doing double shifts here on things. I was thinking during your lesson, Ernie, that God, the Word, and the Holy Spirit are one. And one of the things I appreciate about the eldership here, I think I can say that Ernie, Tom, and Jim believe that the Bible, as Ernie talked about this morning, the Word of God is inspired. And we want this church to be following the New Testament doctrine in Jesus Christ. So we do everything we can in that. And I can say that we are one in our belief in that. So one of the main thing that we're trying to do is all of us get to heaven. So anything we can do to help you to get to heaven. And every day that the sun goes down here in the west, we're one day closer to that. So that's something to think about. One of these days, our souls will go back to God. So it's something to keep in mind. I did want to ask Ernie, too. I'm going to have Marcia get some of that water for me. Does it come in gallon jugs, you know?
She's the one who gave it to me.
Okay. On the note of the bulletin and the many people we got suffering with many different things that they had to face in their life, let's keep them in our prayers, and if there's anything that we can do to help them, let's keep that in mind. Glad to hear that the sing turned out well. Yeah, wish I could have been there. I have a note here from Diane Jones. Her son, Jeremy Ellis, is in Zanesville Hospital. Please keep him in your prayers. And we do have a card. If you haven't signed the cards, you might do that. We have a card from Jeremy. So keep him in your prayers. Jeremy Ellis. Anything else? Any of the updates? Like I said, we have quite a few people in the sick list and other problems that they're facing. So any updates on anyone like that Holly has in here? Anything that needs to be mentioned?
Jim, we were talking with Margaret yesterday, and so her days were up for her to re-get another bone marrow sample. She'll find out those results Wednesday. So continue praying that the transplant and the reading of the treatments have worked.
And Holly is starting a library reading, so you might get, there's flyers back there, I saw for that, I might mention that. And I noticed someone's absent there beside of you this morning. He's at camp,
I assume. Mark,
Mark's at camp, so. Anything else?
In addition to those mentioned on the prayer list, ask for prayers for Larry Burnett. He's had some recent heart issues and having further testing tomorrow with the heart catheterization at Riverside Hospital.
Okay, so prayers for Brother Larry. You keep him in mind as well.
Remember, Jimmy, Malcolm Boyd, he's going through chemo for cancer, and I think this is something like the third time he's had cancer, so he definitely needs a prayer.
Okay, would you say his name again, Dave?
Malcolm Boyd. Tom knows him well. Okay.
Malcolm Boyd. Anything else?
I'd just like to quickly address the technical problems that we've experienced in the Sunday service today. Whenever you start making changes to an audio-video system of any kind, the problems, they arise. This is the hard part. We'll get through this, we'll get it back, and it'll get better because we'll be adding video eventually. But this is the tough part, and the technical problems will be resolved soon.
That's something to keep in mind. That's a goal Jared's mentioned before the end of the year, having video with what we have. I did at home, it does help when you can't get to church. I did get to hear the sing, some of the things on it. The next morning I was able to hear that, I think. So it is nice to have that. We do appreciate your work, Jared. Tom, I think we're ready for closing prayer, please. Please
sit down. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being alive today and being able to be here to hear your word proclaim and sing to you and pray and give back to you and taking the Lord's Supper, all the acts of worship. God, we want to remember all the sick. There's so many. We just pray for Diane's son, that he'd get well, Jeremy Ellis, and be with Diane and the family. Larry Burnett, we pray that everything will go well with him, and bless Sue and all of his family. Malcolm Boyd, going through a lot, pray to be your will, he'd get well. Margaret and others that's been mentioned, we pray, God, that you'll help us be good examples to others. May the work here at New Lex proceed, not give up, and help us be strong Christians and stronger leaders, and just pray that you'll help us all work together. If there's anyone here who needs to be baptized before it's everlasting too late, or come back to you while they still have the chance, and forgive us of our sins, we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.